changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Going back to my story yesterday, my seminar, and how this all came about. I was asked to do a seminar in the Czech Republic for people who are fans there. Every single book I have written there has been a big bestseller in the Czech Republic. So the person who brought me over to speak there last time invited me to do a virtual seminar. When I sketched it out, I thought, these are my jump starts for the next several weeks. So what we've been doing is going back and talking about how we can become happier in 2021. Now, we all might think that, well, it's just going to happen because the virus is going to go away. A lot of political strife is going to go away. Yes, and we're still going to settle back to a default level. That's what human beings do. We settle back down to our level of happiness. That's a paradigm. So the goal over these next several weeks is to help you break through to a higher level of happiness in your paradigm. Now, again, stay with me because I'm going to tell you the most important, the most inspiring story I have ever heard in my entire life. And it was one that I discovered this past weekend. Where we are today, though, is we are up to what I am calling the what of happiness. The what of happiness. And the reason I'm calling it the what of happiness is we haven't really talked about what is happiness. That's one of the big challenges with happiness. If you ask most people if they're happy, I don't think necessarily they would say yes or no. What they would probably do is look at you like you're crazy. Why would you even take that into an account? Here in the United States, we have a propensity for not only discounting, we glorify happiness on the one hand. The ads that are running constantly of the attractive, happy people, look at a casino ad. There are always attractive, fit, happy people in their 30s, and they're always winning. Whereas when you walk into a casino, it's always the exact opposite experience. You tend to see old people with oxygen tanks on, sitting there and losing. So we don't really know what happiness is. When you ask someone if they're happy, we show happiness in ads, and yet most people walk around unhappy. And when we meet someone we consider to be happy, we often treat that person as if there's something wrong or suspicious about them. Now, you may not, but I can tell you I sure did. Being raised in an unhappy and abusive family, happy people, there was something wrong with them, we thought. My mom and dad used to say so. What's wrong with her? She's always happy. So we have a real confusion with happiness. Scientists don't use the term happy. Psychologists maybe, but people who study happiness, they don't use the term happy. Because happy is a little too non-quantitative. What they use is something they do consider to be very quantitative as a euphemism for happiness. And yet to me, it seems even less quantifiable. Scientists don't say happy. They say subjective contentment. Subjective contentment. Let me break that apart. Subjective, number one. How could that be any more arbitrary than subjective? It's subjective. It's individualized. It is your perception. And yet psychologists and scientists who study happiness finally just realize that a person is literally as happy as they believe they are, period. It is totally subjective. You can have everything that you dream about, want in your life, etc. And it is ultimately up to you as to whether or not you enjoy it. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And then again, they don't use the term happy. They use contentment. So what if instead of happiness, we started using contentment? Are you content? I was thinking about this morning. I got up, made my coffee, took Teddy out, came back, opened up the wall. I live on the bay here in the tropics, so I'm able to open up my entire wall pretty much, except for one little glass panel. Sat down, had my coffee, watched the sun come up, and I asked myself, am I happy? And I immediately felt sort of this kind of resistance. And then I asked myself, am I content? And I went, oh yeah, I'm definitely content. And that is a much better thing, because happiness is such an unusual, it's a word we use so much and we don't know where it is in our body. Go back to the very first one of these, by the way, for that. We don't know when to experience it. We don't know how to experience it. That's been the last four jump starts. And ultimately, we don't know what it is. But it's subjective. It's individualized. It's up to each and every one of us to decide if we are content. And to make becoming more content our goal. Yes, believe it or not. And if that means making some changes in your life, make one or two. Make the big ones. Do what Russell Brunson calls, make the big domino fall. If you've got a big issue in your life you think will make you happier, if you're out of it or in it, do it. Otherwise, try and become happy where you are. Grow where you were planted. Remember the quote from Lincoln, people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. If you're happy and you know it, that was my little daughter's favorite song. If you're happy and you know it, when she was little, we used to sing that. And it occurred to me how sad it would be to be happy and not to know it. To be happy and not to know it. That's the way most people are. They're happy and they don't know it. So ultimately, you have to make a commitment to your own contentment. Now, when I say commitment, you might go, okay, yeah, I commit to my contentment. That's right. I commit. Well, if you're not going back and doing the things that I've shared with you in the previous jump starts that are actual to-dos, you're not committed. You are making a New Year's resolution. And we know what ends with New Year's resolutions. Let me tell you a story of commitment. When I was walking through the sculpture garden in Key West this weekend, near Mallory Square, we went down to celebrate my birthday. It was a great place to go because being in the tropics, a lot of social distancing, a lot of separation, and everybody's outdoors, and all the windows are open, and all the restaurants, etc. And I saw the story of a man named Sandy Cornish. This is the story of commitment like you have never heard before. And from now on, I'm here to tell you, I am going to measure my commitments against this man's story. Sandy Cornish was born a slave. He was an enslaved human being born down in Key West. Now, it was a common practice for slave owners, if they couldn't keep their slaves busy working, to hire them out and then keep the money that the slaves would have earned by working. Sandy Cornish's master, I hate that term, I'm struggling using these words. His master put him out for hire for the railroad. Now, the railroad, ironically, not only paid his master, but paid Sandy Cornish himself. Sandy kept his mouth and his money quiet for 3 years until he had the price it would take to buy himself. And then he went to his master and bought himself and became a free man. But that's not the story of commitment. The real commitment came after that. Sandy Cornish then became a businessman and a farmer in Key West because he was a free man. He had the rights to do whatever any other free man at that time had the right to do. However, unfortunately, there was a fire. The fire burned down a building. The building contained the statement of Sandy's freedom, making him no longer free, but basically eligible for capture and imprisonment into enslavement, or being sold for profit. People began to circle around him. People began to harass him. People began to try and pick him up here and there. And finally, one day, in the greatest act of defiance I have ever heard in my life, this free man went into the center of Ponce de Leon Square, pulled out a knife, and said, "I will remain free for the rest of my life. I will never be a slave again. You are looking at me as property, and I am going to destroy the property." As people gathered around, Sandy Cornish drew a knife out. "If there are children, you need to turn this off. If there are children with you, turn off what I'm about to say." Cornish then cut the major tendons in the back of his right leg to maim himself permanently. That wasn't enough. He then took the knife and jammed it into his left hip, destroying his left hip. And he cut off the fingers of his own left hand. He then began to ceremoniously try and sew the fingers back on, as he railed against slavery and the fact that he was a free man and would be free even if he were a destroyed man. That's not the end of Sandy Cornish's story. Friends picked him up, nursed him back to health, and he remained a free man for the rest of his life. He became an entrepreneur. He supported many causes, and he helped many people who were less fortunate than himself. If you're watching this, you want to be happy. If you want to be happier, you've got to make a commitment to being happier. And if your commitment isn't on par with Sandy Cornish's, you're probably not going to make it. Let me take a moment and go back and hear what some of you have to say. Magdalena, as I said, I'm just emotional from that story. Sue Fratiani says, "Good morning from Bloomington, Indiana. Delightful to share a cup of coffee with you live." That's so nice, Sue. Thank you. "You are so great to hear," Patricia DeMoss says. "I look forward to read your book and your inspiration for a good life." Thank you, Patricia. It's my distinct honor. Oh, Magdalena was at the seminar with the Czech Republic yesterday. That's great. She said it was amazing. Tanzania, Paul Youssef, "Paul, did I meet you when I was in Tanzania? I was there helping to build a hospital, and I actually spoke in Tanzania. It's 4:12 p.m. in Tanzania. Thanks, Paul, for letting us know." Julianne Derry says, "Good morning, welcome back. Good morning, and thank you for understanding that periodically I got to take a day or two off to do some things." Montego Bay, Jamaica, checking in. Courtney Williams, south of me by a few hours. That is awesome. Love Montego Bay. Brittany Lynn, "Good to see you. Good morning from Iowa," she says. "Enjoying this talk today," she says. She continues on to say, "We live our lives waiting for us to tell us what will make us that's happy. I find that if I have the goals to work towards, I feel good. That makes me happy. Contentment is a great word, says Paula Drake. By the way, go to www.happythisyear.com. Happythisyear.com. Happythisyear.com. Pick up a copy of my book. If you really want to go into detail, one of the things I covered in the seminar yesterday was happy people read and look at happy things. It's just the truism. The happiest person you know is not getting up and reading angry things and listening to angry, pissed off podcasts. They are looking at happy puppies and people who are making a positive difference in the world. The more you focus on happy, the more you experience it. Trish Parris is happy for no reason. Andre, I love your attitude. Thank you, Andre. I agree with you. Bless you. Jolene Maurice is happy. Nick Bastian, okay, getting it. Hey, Natasha's checking in for the first time this morning. Good to see you. We are worldwide this morning, y'all. Melbourne, Australia. Great to see you. And what I love is that this is all going to be watched many, many thousands of more times. We'll do this. You see, right now we got 23 people. We may have, you know, dozens more going in and out of the room, I call it. But in and all, what happens is when you click share, other people also pick up on this and become part of our daily Jumpstart community. So please click share right now. Jerome Johnson's always my good share guy, as is Trish Parr. I know that many of you do. Thank you so much. We talked about the what of happiness. Now, for those of you who are in my seminar in the Czech Republic, you probably know what's coming. But tomorrow we actually get into what I call the second secret to becoming a happier person this year, and that is how to overcome the hidden obstacles to happiness. We should just be naturally happy, right? There's tons of stuff working against you. And when you begin to understand the things that are working against you and to develop strategies to avoid and overcome them, you become happier. Thanks again, everybody, for joining me. Be happy today and enjoy today.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.